Our first reading this morning is from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Here ends our reading.
The gospel reading is from Luke chapter 24. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This glorious news is something that changes who we are. It gives us life. It gives us meaning. It gives us purpose. And it shows us a glorious future. It is one of those things that as we gather looking at this wonderful news, we hear that this is something that Jesus doesn't want to leave doubt and doesn't want to leave fear. As he appears not just once, not just twice, but he continues to appear. The number of times he appears is something that people even try to figure out. Are these similar accounts, or is this just how many times Jesus wants to appear to his disciples? It is something where we look at how much the gospel show this in what they say, what they express, that for the weeks ahead we keep seeing Jesus' good news coming to you. As we look at the good news that shapes who we are, I was thinking through events that shaped who I am, and one of the ways that in my family it was a time of sharing and shaping was around cooking and meal prep. And this is one where my father being the cook, it would be where he would be the one prepping meals and working through things, and it would be times where he would be not just teaching knife skills, teaching how you do things, teaching what was given to him, but it would be then teaching just how life works, teaching life stories, going around and gathering. And it was quite fascinating that this week, as I try and figure out my post-Easter crazy project, as many of you know, after Christmas, I worked and made a fruitcake and tried that as my project, that again, it was something food-centric. I was looking and trying to figure out what did I want to make and do once the season of Easter is over. I started watching a bunch of videos, watching people talk about how they make kimchi. And it was the number of times where it was very similar. People talking about learning at a table from their grandmother, learning at a table and hearing stories about how you do things and why you do things, not just because it's the easiest way or this is tradition, but then to hear about life stories. The rubbing of elbows as you worked and did things to serve others. And it might not be around a kitchen table, but I'm sure you have moments where you have rubbed elbows, talked to people to shape and change who you are or how you see things around you. And it's in this context that, not in our reading today, but in the second letter that Peter wrote that we still have, in 2 Peter, we hear that Peter knows he is going to be dying soon. And Peter talks about how he calls the people of God that he is writing to, not to waver, but instead to hold fast to the teachings of the truth, to hold fast to the significance of that gospel that was given to them, to recall that glorious news we hear in 1 Peter 1, 17 to 19, as he knows that his departure is coming soon. And it's rather fascinating as we talk about cooking, talk about Peter, that word departure. That word for departure is one that only appears one other time in the entire New Testament, because that word is a rather unusual word in Greek itself. It is his exodus, his leaving, and it only appears one other time, and that is when Jesus is transfigured. When Jesus is transfigured and he is talking to Elijah and Moses, and they are talking about his upcoming departure. They use again the word exodus or exodos. But think about that. Think about what it is that Peter was saying, remember as I am getting ready to leave you. He uses the word that was there when he was ignorant and blind to the Lord who was saying, I am getting ready to leave you. Hearkening back to that good news, the news that is right there in our midst that we celebrate and rejoice when we gather around the Lord's table, that one of the ways we say that is that truth that has been given to you when we say the words, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. The mystery that is there that for many of us you have grown up with, that you have had this your entire life, that we go, well, it's just commonplace. It's just the facts of life. But yet it's so breathtakingly, earth-shatteringly new and revolutionary that it changes your whole identity. That this is the Lord who, when he was talking to Moses and Elijah, as he was preparing to have his exodus, his departure, his time of leaving, that he wanted to make sure they were prepared for it. And that after he had left and had returned from the grave and from death itself, he wanted to assure them that they knew this good news as he appeared to them, as we heard in this reading, giving them peace, giving them comfort and assurance that they were not seeing a ghost, letting them know that that departure was successful, as he takes a piece of fish and eats it, as he shows them his hands and his side, as he appears and lets them know that this now is the new reality that they are in. And yes, it can be a struggle for us as we look at this reality and say it is there, but it isn't. As we can look and reflect back at many of those meals that we can look and say, I still wish I could prepare a meal with the person who isn't with us anymore. That I wish I can go and be there with the person who isn't with us anymore, but yet they are still with us in memory. That we have a Lord who says that reality is now there for them and for you as well. That this reality of a Lord who says, look, this is what I have won, isn't just my victory, but is yours. The victory that has changed who you are as he shows them that he is really there. A victory that gives us the assurance that there will be a table and a feast where we will be able to gather around and rejoice with food and fellowship with those that have gone on before us. But this is where we can sometimes struggle. Because what do we do with this wondrous news? What do we do with this table fellowship with the Lord who looks and says, here I am. Here is the good news of who you now are. I have given this to you. Well, this is where we sometimes look and we hear this mystery, we grow up in this mystery, we live in this mystery so much that sometimes we drift away, as Peter was warning about. Sometimes we go when we hear this, just like we might have grown up around a table hearing the stories of our family, of so much about what is going on that we look and say, I don't want that, or that is not my story. Which is why Peter was so adamant in saying, before I depart, don't wander. Don't lose sight of the hope and light that is there for you. And it's where Jesus goes, and besides showing them that peace that he brings, then goes and tells them what this good news means. As he opens up their minds to go and say that all of Scripture, the Old Testament, was all about this news, that all of life is about this glorious news that the Christ would come, that he would suffer and die and on the third day rise again. And what does this now mean? The purpose of life is right there. That forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations and to all people. That Jesus gives us our purpose and reason for hearing these stories, for sharing this fellowship, for who we are. He transforms how we are to see life itself. As he points out that all of Scripture was about his death and resurrection, but not just for death and resurrection's sake, but for forgiveness of sins. That we then look and see in his wonderful news, that this news that he opens up their minds to see, that we then continue to go in and see when we open up his word, when we gather in worship, when we go through our life, when we gather around tables together, that we are called to see that who we are has been transformed to show his life, his death, his resurrection for the forgiveness of sins for others. And so the challenge then is, as people who are prone and have so many things that would take you away from this light, take you away from that wonderful news, to not lose sight of what God has called you to be and called you to see, to go back and to see, just like you might have the memories of working around a cutting board, going around and working around and preparing meals, that you have a Lord who has been there and is helping you and is sustaining you in this task, that you have been called to be witnesses of what God has done, and he has equipped you with not just stories and tales, but said that this is now your reality and story that you now are called to see, because you have a Lord who has already departed, but he has come back. And so as those who have departed before us have gone and shown us what this means in their life, we now live on, continuing on, seeing what that means as we show others before our departure that we have a Lord who has already called you to a wonderful life of showing that he has already given you a victory that you could express to others. So may your life continue on showing his death, resurrection, and victory for the forgiveness of sins for you and for those around you. In his name, amen. As we rejoice in this, our gathering of tithes and offerings is a time to pause, to remind ourselves that everything we see around us, even our life itself, is the Lord's. And he has reclaimed it, he has made it his own, and we give back a portion to say, thank you, Lord. You are the one who promises that you will sustain us. We give thanks for the offerings gathered here this day for beautiful Savior, for our continual mission, and we continue to thank God for the ways he provides for each and every individual that's gathered. And so let us join together in our offering prayer, thanking the Lord who continues to show that he knows the needs that we have and he has provided in Christ Jesus. Let us turn in prayer.